Now we have about 30 minutes or little less. I surely want to get into more into the practice of shepherding. And to be very to the point, I'll just say this, and that is the, if I may put it in this way, genuine shepherding starts with prayer, and it is born by prayer. And it is accomplished by prayer. In other words, there would be no prayer without shepherd, no shepherding without prayer. Consider the Lord Jesus, who today is that in his heavenly ministry, that universal shepherd, that chief shepherd, the shepherd of all, particularly his children, his body, his church. The other great status and work of his in his heavenly ministry, I think you will agree, is his work of intercession. Am I right? And in this matter of intercession, it is also heaven and earth conjoined. By that I mean shepherding is a ministry that is both heavenly and earthly. By earthly, I mean something that is carried out on the earth. The two ends of it. One end is the heavenlies, where the exalted and enthroned Christ sits, and at the right hand of God. And the other end is he is the one who is indwelling our spirit. This same one Christ is both above and below. He's both in the heavens on the throne, and he's also in the throne of grace in our spirit. And these are conjoined, they're connected. And that's how he accomplishes shepherding work there and here through his members who are joined to the heavens in their mingled spirit. Prayer, or rather the intercession or the ministry of intercession of the Lord is the same. Just in the book of Romans 8, you will find both mentioned. Are both mentioning Christ, who is interceding there above in the heavenlies, and also Christ, who is interceding here within through the Spirit, by the Spirit in our spirit. So you see, it's almost like shepherding and interceding is one thing. In fact, they are one thing. And so today, Christ being our advocate before the Father, and the ministry in the heavenly tabernacle, minister, and so on, he does it by interceding on our behalf before God, praying for us. Do you believe, brothers and sisters, that right now, as I'm speaking, as you're listening, someone is praying for you and for me and for this meeting? Do you think that's a fairy tale? Do you think that's make believe? I mean, in these 2,000 years, the ministry of the Son of God has been ceaseless and nonstop for millions, maybe billions of people who are his. And it is through that intercession or those intercessory prayers that Christ is shepherding us. There would be no shepherding without such intercession. It says, I mentioned already in the last session, that as the Good Shepherd, he knows our name and we know his voice. He knows our names. That means I believe he prayed to the Father on your behalf using your name. He's not just praying for a billion people generally. He's praying for you and me specifically. So what I'm trying to impress you, dear saints, is that there would be no prayer, no shepherding without prayer. And not just prayer, but persevering prayer. I mean, if there's one person who had been praying a persevering prayer for 2,000 years, that's the Lord himself only. Now, that's some perseverance. Okay. He has to do that because he is doing an unimaginably difficult work. And that work is to make sinners sons, to make God's redeemed and regenerated people, eventually all New Jerusalem people. Beings of the New Jerusalem. That is a huge work that takes centuries, that takes constant prayers on his part before the Father. And that is the work of his shepherding. Shepherding cannot be carried out in a prayerless way. The strength of our shepherding, the effect of our shepherding, the quality of our shepherding, the reach of our shepherding, all depends on our prayer for others, specifically those you are caring for. Now, you have lesson four, which is not what I'm going to go through. I just refer you to it because you should have received that. That is on the practicing persevering prayer for shepherding. All right. So this is not just talking about prayer, period. This is about a particular kind of prayer. It's actually called intercessory prayer. You know, intercession means what? Means it is not just general prayer. In 1 Timothy 2, it's talk about prayer, intercession, petition and thanksgiving, four descriptions for what we generally call prayer. But intercessory prayer or prayer of intercession means you are specifically praying for someone else or some other situation. In other words, you're not praying for you. We do need to pray for ourselves. Nothing wrong with that. But that's not intercession. Intercession is you pray on behalf of others. Others have a need. They don't know it, or they cannot face it. Someone rises up to pray for them, to be an advocate for them, to fight for them, to be before the throne on others' behalf. That's intercession. So the whole prayer that is the prayer that is signified by the golden incense altar in the tabernacle is intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer. And of course, that golden altar is a type of the interceding Christ, which today includes both the head, that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and also his body. That means all of us. And that incense altar, we talked during the pandemic a lot, is the engine, huh? The motivator of all the rest of the tabernacle, all the things in the tabernacle, starting with the burnt offering. That is, you can say, people getting saved and redeemed through the gospel. How would sinners come to that experience, the burnt offering of in repentance at that altar? Because someone is praying here, at that golden incense altar. The laborer, how would a new believer, newly saved one, would be baptized, be immersed in the water and in the spirit? Because someone is praying at the incense altar to motivate that piece of furnishing, to make it real. How about a new believer needing to know to enjoy Christ as the life supply, the bread of the presence, the face bread? Because that golden incense altar is motivating that person to come and start to learn how to eat Jesus, to enjoy Christ as his life supply. The lampstand, how would someone receive light? Because someone has been praying. So this one receives light. And eventually, how would someone even would come into the holiest of all to touch God's testimony, the ark? Because someone has been praying. Dear brothers and sisters, every one of us sitting here in this room, I mean, in this meeting today, is here because someone has been praying for you. Am I right, brothers? I don't believe anyone would be sitting here today if no one has prayed for you. At least Christ prayed for you. And there would be others praying for you. I and just bow my head in worship to God for that. I know that. I know that. And in fact, in many cases, in some cases, I should say, I know who. And that intercessory prayer on my behalf shepherds me. That prayer shepherds me. So Paul says, it's through your prayers that the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ would turn out to my salvation. Paul was shepherded in the tiny little cell somewhere in Rome. Nobody's even there, but some saints are praying, at least in the Philippians. He said, I know that. Your prayer. I'm being practically saved. Paul was shepherded by the church in Philippi. So today, this prayer of intercession in the heavenlies carried out by Christ, by the interceding Christ, is something that we should experience, we should be joined to, and we should be a part of as his members. So in this outline, it says prayer, therefore, this kind of intercessory prayer. And all, let me say this, intercessory prayer is specific. Just like petition is specific. Prayer is a general term, general description of man contacting God. But petition means you have a cause, you have a grievance. Am I right? You go and petition someone for something. You You walk across the room to tell this person, we have a need. That's petition. Intercession is similar. It's specific. Our prayers, brothers and sisters, are too general. Just praying for the world. We pray for Europe. We pray for this country or that. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying that we need to learn more specific prayer. Intercessory prayer, shepherding prayer for a person with a name and a face. We need to build up that kind of prayer. I think that kind of prayer among us is weak. That's why our shepherding care is also short. I was telling a brother before this meeting that even in our church meetings, Tuesday nights, oftentimes we just have a litany of points, very general. We don't even know whether the prayer hit the mark or was answered by the Lord. Perhaps we need to dedicate more time in the Tuesday night to pray for specific needs of saints, of those we know, of gospel candidates, so you know what I mean? People with us. Maybe not in our locality, maybe in other places, but specific prayer. Actually, a good part of our home meeting, group meeting should be this: praying for one another, praying for saints who are in various situations with needs. And this is the prerequisite to shepherding. If you don't pray for someone, I would even say don't contact them yet. After prayer, much prayer for this person, then the Lord would open the way to honor that prayer, to open the doors, to create a situation where you can contact this person and begin your care. And then on an ongoing basis, as you're caring this person, frequently you will find you don't know what to do. What is the next step? Because our shepherding, later on we will talk about this, is a progressive one. We don't shepherd people in a hit and miss way, but in a progressive way, just like Psalm 23. It's very progressive. Station by station, step by step, we shepherd people onwards. What it talk about here is something very general, but it bears repeating. There are two aspects of our prayer, even in our intercessory prayer. One of the top intercessory prayer is in Genesis chapter 18, Abraham's prayer for Lot. That's intercessory prayer. And Jehovah was waiting for someone on the earth to do that, and he found that in his friend, Abraham. And they were just talking for a long time until the end. Jehovah said, "Can I withhold this from this guy, from Abraham?" So the first aspect of our prayer is fellowship. So, dear saints, for the sake of shepherding, we need to fellowship with God. We need to spend time with the Lord. If we mean business to shepherd, don't just run out of here and go do something. That doesn't last. That's not solid. Start with prayer. Lord, I love you. I love your church. I love the saints. I love the sinners. Lord, make me a shepherd of men. Lord, I come to you. I'm determined. I'm burdened. What do you say? Okay, this is fellowship. The Lord will say, okay, you want to do this? You need to take care of that. You need to deal with that. I don't know what he will say, but that's fellowship. That's fellowship. And in this fellowship, there's dealings. There's shining, there's exposing, there's repenting, there's turning, there's confessing. And by this kind of fellowship, we're brought into the Lord's deeper presence. Because it's important. Because if you're not with God in His presence, God will not reveal His heart to you for others. Again, back to Genesis 18. Don't think that eating time by the oak of Mamre, by the tent, is wasting time. God and man were fellowshipping until they get to the point that God is ready to open up the case of Lot. God wants need to save Lot for his economy, but he needs some man to help in this by the way of intercession. And Abraham was that man. We need to be that man. If we are to be a shepherd, we have to start with fellowship with the Lord. This is too important. You're saying we are so busy with so many things. It's not this thing, it's that thing, and all the things are just consuming our time, wasting our time that we need to spend with the Lord, just to have a quiet moment, just to have some time with the Lord. Apparently doing nothing but waiting on Him, having our ears open. Lord, give me the ears of an instructor. You know, the first thing the master did to this committed slave, go to the doorpost, bore a hole. That indicates the first thing to be a slave is the ability to listen. And if you're in a crowded room, you're busy, you're thinking about this and that, you will not be here able to hear God's voice, which is always still and small. You don't even give him the attention. Why would God open to you and let you know what is on his heart for someone? But there's a second, in this fellowship and through this fellowship, God dispenses his burden and feeling within you. A name, a brother, a sister, a neighbor, a relative who puts it in your heart. Now, there's a second aspect of prayer, and that is the prayer of inquiring. INQUIRING, inquiring. Inquiring means you are asking, Lord, what about this? Who should I shepherd? Who should I be burdened for? Inquiring. Lord, in the church where I am, in the place where I am, Lord, who should I be burdened for? Who should I shepherd? Who have you given to me? Inquiring. But without fellowship, you cannot inquire. I certainly, those of us with experience know what I'm talking about. This is how it works. Fellowship opens the way for the Lord to reveal his intention, his burden, in an intimate way to us. Then, listen, based on that inquiry, now we can do the work of petition and intercession through fellowship, through inquiring. We now know what to pray. And that prayer, listen, is not initiated by you, but by God Himself. And you believe God will honor that. And God will bless that and follow that. His hand will follow that with you. Then we need to pray. Now, the two main things to learn to pray for others for shepherding purposes. Number one, listen, this is very important, is to pray specific. In the beginning, you may be general, but when the Lord puts someone in your heart or someone's in your heart, you have to start to be specific. I say again, don't just go and do something quickly. But you pray first. Sometimes we need to pray for a long time before that person is ready, before you are ready, before God is ready to do something. Then we forgot to pray and we give up. You see, that's the problem. You see, we don't take this matter so seriously. If we are to become a recovery of shepherding, if we are to become a shepherding church and a group of shepherding saints, this is the only way. But we all can do that. We need to exercise. So specifically, specific, not just name, but even specific circumstance. Lord, this brother, I see this in him. I'm burdened. What about this related to him? Yeah, so detailed, so fine, not general. It is in that prayer the Lord will speak to you. You see, this is the brother's need. I'm letting you know that. Yeah. Then we will have the Lord's word and specific guidance and leading in how to, what the next step it is to take. And even the Lord will say, Lord, is he ready for my contact? Lord, when should I contact? It's not too much to pray like that. And the second thing is, besides being specific, is to be persistent. That means we don't stop. It's so easy to stop praying. Prayer is the first thing we give up. The first thing we forget to do. The first thing we're negligent of. So that's why in Colossians, the last chapter, persevere in prayer. Hardest thing for us to do is to persevere in prayer. It's hard enough to start praying. To keep praying is even harder. But whenever prayer stops, shepherding stops. If we are not specific in our prayer, God even does not know how to answer them. God, you say, what do you want? And if we're not persistent in our prayer, our faith would not be tried. Remember that woman, right, who was seeking to be vengeance, right, to with this unrighteous judge? The Lord said, learn of this woman. After much badgering, right? Much. He tired out that judge that he has to help her. The Lord used that parable to show how we need to persevere. So don't just give up on someone. Nothing happens. I pray. Nothing happens. No, you haven't prayed enough. You know, prayer in this kind of way tests the genuineness of our burden. It's not genuine. You're not really desperate. And the prayer or the lack of it exposes that. So ask. You know, there's a part of prayer that is asking, Lord, do something with this brother. Lord, save this man, that my coworker at work. Look, you get more and more specific as you pray by the Spirit's leading, and the Spirit knows all things. You know, the omniscient Christ knows all things. He knows the mind of the Spirit, and he knows how to groan. In our groaning, he can intercede. So we need to not stop. Keep praying. Sometimes the more you pray, the worse it gets. Well, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. We have to have the faith that one day the Lord will be compelled, like that judge, unrighteous judge, to answer our prayer. Another thing is the need for such prayer is that the prayer not only through our asking changes the person that we pray for. You know what? Through those kind of dealing prayer, we get changed. We get touched. We realize that in order for me to care for that person, I need some more dealing. I'm short in this or that. Yeah, we should have these experiences often, often. And this is the right way. So, dear saints, go back to that outline. It's all there and get into it in this way. And finally, Brother Ni, Brother Li both suggested that to practice this, it's good to have a record of our prayers. The date we begin praying for this person or this case, and what we pray for, and the time that this prayer is answered, and how the Lord answered the prayer. So specific. Be specific for reality. Dear brothers and sisters, if each one of us would just care for one person, one human being, one sinner or seeker or saint, you just see this will break. Then we can take care of two. Then we can take care of three. Through this prayer as a basis, we then begin the work of contacting, outreach, visitation, invitation, spending time to actually ask nursing mothers and exhorting fathers care for these ones that the Lord has been given to us. I think that's good enough. I will just stop here. Amen.